Everybody, welcome. It's great to see such a large group of people that want to take a different level of control of your career search. And I wanted to start off by quoting a couple of Proverbs. Proverbs 6:10 says, "A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands, and poverty will strike like a bandit." And you are here because you don't want to sleep, you don't want to slumber, you don't want to fold your hands, you want to take charge, you want to do something. You're going to use your phone, you're going to use your voice, you're going to continue all the networking and all the other things you're already doing. The other verse is in Proverbs chapter 20-something, and it says, a lazy person says, "There is a lion outside, I will be eaten in the square." And they're paralyzed by fear, fear that doesn't even exist. And, you know, there's core reluctance sometimes when we step outside of our comfort zone. Our comfort zone is to do our regular job. It's not to be a salesperson of ourselves, to go out there and try to find ourselves a job. So I commend each and every one of you for being here today. And since we're here to talk, and we're here to learn of some different ways about talking, I just want to start. We've got a large group, but let's just go around the room and just share in one or two sentences your job title. It's very, really important that you know what your job title is here today, and a little bit about what you hope to get out of this session, and or you know why you're here or what you've done with your job search so far. So why don't we just, if you don't mind, we'll just start over here. John.
Good morning, I'm John Hoogie. I'm looking for a position in software quality assurance. I have a passion for ensuring that the software works in a predictable manner. That's according to requirements, specifications, and within budget. I am really passionate about watching tests because you get to see the end-to-end process of a problem all the way through a solution, and that's a great thing in IT. I'm John Hoogie, looking for software quality assurance.
Pete Smith, I am a pastor looking for a church, and
Great. Now, that's the kind of answer I'm looking for, real short.
Larry Muller, last position was VP of Operations, and I'm looking for another position in Operations Management.
Very good, Larry. Let's go over here.
My name is Wayne Cole. I'm a visual designer in marketing, and what I'd like to get out of this course is the fact that there's a lot of times I'm sending email resumes to jobs and getting no response back, and I'm wondering if it's ever reaching them, so I'd like to contact some of these hiring managers to see if I can talk to them personally to find out more about the job and to see if I'm not getting lost in some kind of email abyss.
Very good.
I'm Robert Burton. I'm Robert Burton. I'm looking for a job as Voice Electric Engineering.
I'm John DeRoe, and I'm looking for firmware engineering or embedded systems engineering.
Hi, I'm Renee Martin, transitioning here from New York. And I did human services, social work back in New York, looking to transition from that into another field. So right now I'm kind of looking at teaching.
Teaching. Okay, very good. Kelly?
Hi, my name is Kathy Brewer, and I do have a passion for communication and training, and I love to help others to be able to succeed and do their job better than they currently are.
Very good. Come back here.
Hi, my name is Rob Britton, and I'm an IT manager, and I love building and running remarkable teams.
Technology and e-commerce and internet marketing companies.
Kathy
Claybaugh.
Hi, my name is Scott Barnes. I've got experience in operations, business development, and finance. Have owned my own business and have been a banker, so I've seen companies on all sides. So I have a passion for small, medium-sized business. Want to help the entrepreneur grow.
Very good.
Again, Scott Barnes.
Yeah. Hey, my name is Mark Chang. I'm a securities trader. I am looking to do what I do right now, but go one step further and have the right type of conversation with the hiring manager.
Hello, I'm Tom Williams. I'm a purchasing manager, and I'm here because I don't want to wait on adverts in the on the job posting. I want to go in after them.
Dave Cravens. I'm a corporate real estate manager looking to expand how to talk to hiring managers.
Very good.
My name is Tracy Nelson. I want to figure out how to talk to people so I can get a chance to break into data analysis.
Good morning, David Wyant. I'm looking at transitioning into being an associate pastor of pastoral care or chaplaincy, and I guess I need to bring donuts next week because my wife landed a job this morning. She's the new director of client services at the Pregnancy Center downtown at First Baptist, and I'm praising the Lord
for that. That's wonderful.
Did this lady go yet?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. Jerry Stewart, I'm looking at, as you heard briefly up there, I'm trying to transition to being an actuary. At the moment, I may be doing a temporary teaching job for a year. What I'm hoping to get out of this, ideas for actually trying to call the hiring manager, because that has not been something I've been naturally prone to try to do.
Okay.
Good morning. My name is Paul Dotson. I'm currently working as a mortgage banker. I'm looking to transition out of a big bank environment into a smaller mortgage company, working with mortgages. I have a passion for helping people with their finances, and I love being in sales. Thanks.
Good morning. My name is Alyssa McCann, and I just relocated back here from New York. And my background is in food and beverage marketing, and I'm looking for a brand or field marketing position with a restaurant or franchisee food or beverage organization. Again, Alyssa McCann.
Back table.
Hi, I'm Tyler Irby, and I'm just trying to find my first real-time job.
What's your degree in?
I didn't graduate from college right now. I'm looking back, but right now I'm just trying to figure out.
Very good.
My name is Craig Falwell. I'm just moved here from Virginia, and I've been in business most of my life myself, for myself, and looking now to expand out and how to reach out to hiring managers in the area.
I'm Wesley Vance. I'm a computer technician by trade in disk storage, large systems, and I'm also a certified master trainer.
I'm Thad Arms. I'm looking for a position as a cable installer.
Brad Wagoner, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, and I'm the alternative fuels manager for Leggett & Platt Commercial Vehicle Products, and I also help out a little bit with Careers in Motion.
Hi, I'm Christine Enrun. I'm a nonprofit development director looking to make a change over to community development and corporate responsibility.
Very good. Is that everybody? We have one person in the front here. Do you want to stand up and tell us?
Hi, my name is Lucy Brungart, and I got a degree in journalism, and my first real job at a school was teaching in China, and so I'm looking either with teaching or writing. So,
great. Thank you, everybody. So we have a very diverse group of people here, and this is going to be interesting. Let me just give you an overview of what I'd like to do today. I have the first sheet here is a worksheet that you can use when you're developing a script to call a particular individual. And we'll go through this into a little bit of detail. I don't want to spend too long standing up here talking. I want us to actually get engaged in this and work with each other to come up with great scripts that will work for yourself. On the second page, which is on the back of the first page, there are some communication techniques that I'd like to just hit the highlights of. We could probably spend, you know, two whole days talking on every single one of these. But these are some approaches that I know you're all already using in your communication, in your personal and business lives. I'm just going to put a name to some of them that you may not have realized you're even using, so you can use some of them a little more deliberately going forward. And on the back page, just wrote three sample scripts that can help you have an example of how you might want to craft some of your own. So the first thing I'd like you to do is write down your job title on the first line on the first page. Until you know what you want to do, it's kind of hard to go and get it. So This is not a long-winded thing. This is not a sentence. This is just a job title. Now, some of you have been doing this for a long time, and some of you are just now starting to get into your field. So therefore, the purpose of your call may or may not be different depending on where you are. So I've identified four distinct purposes for a call. The first one is to actually apply for a job that you have found out about. The second one is to call somebody and just get some more advice from them about your career or about how to go to work for that company or about how they got to do what they're doing. The third one is to follow up with somebody after you've already reached out to somebody before. And the fourth one is to simply introduce yourself. You know, for example, you look on their career site, they don't have a job opening right now, but it's the kind of company you want to go to work for. You know, they hire a lot of people similar to your background. So when they've got another opening, you want them to know about you. So what's a great way? What are some good ways that you can introduce yourself to those people? So if you were to pick one of those and pick a company that you wanted to go after, go ahead and circle or underline the one that you want to do here first today. You may get to do several. And do you have a company name? Is there a target company? If you don't have a target company in mind, just make one up for the purposes of the exercise. Now, based on your job title, who you want to talk to, and what you want to talk to them about, that should tell you the job title of the person you need to reach within that organization. Do you want to go straight to human resources? Do you need to go to the director of that department? What would their job title likely be at that company? So I'll have you write that down. Next. Now, the next piece you get to do on your own, the different kinds of research. I know that you're all probably very familiar with how to do your research. Go to the company website, go to their careers page, Google the company news, find, you know, if they're about to have a massive layoff or they just had one, there's really not much point calling them unless you're a recruiter like me trying to get those people to come to work for one of your other clients. Look on their LinkedIn profile. This is really useful because one of the approaches we're going to use is we're going to tell people what we already know about them and about the industry that they're in or the kind of position you're going for. A really powerful technique is to tell them what you already know. So know something about them on LinkedIn. It's also a really good compliment to them as an individual. And then think about your own network. Do you know anybody that knows this person or somebody at that company? You can name drop. You can use that person to give you an introduction. In fact, I just did that this morning for Craig. I called a friend of mine who I think would be a great person for him to have a conversation with. I've done that for other people here as well. There's a little space there to write your notes. Now we get into the script. But before we get into the script, I just want to go through the seven steps that I have written here and then we'll talk about them. I think the first thing you want to do always is pray. Send God in before you to do your work before you get there. It worked for the Israelites every single time and it works for us today too. I like to visualize the outcome that I want to have. Close my eyes and actually picture what that person is doing on the other end of the phone as we're hanging up. Do you want them to be impressed? Do you want them to smile? Do you want them to be angry? Do you want them to go, who in the world was that? What do you want? What is the outcome that you want? Visualize that. And maybe even just those two steps alone is enough. And then you pick up the phone, you're going to get that result. Step three, smile into the phone. What they say when you walk into a door is to put on a big cheesy smile. And as you walk in the door, the smile is just fading off your face. You can do the same thing. As they start to say hello, put a big cheesy grin on your face. And it's just smiling off your face. It raises your tone. It raises your own attitude and happiness. And you'll come across in the best possible way on the phone. Then we get into the details of the script. Then you'll actually end up having a conversation, possibly. Then you have to close. You have to decide what you want the outcome to be based on what they've said. And then you've got to have the right kind of follow-up system. So has anybody here called hiring managers before? Great, a lot of people. Have you had some success stories? Anybody like to share some of their success stories? I want to just take some time right now and just hear from other people what you did and how you did it. Go ahead, Brett.
Well, I guess talk about my recent deal.
companies sought me out. Thank you. Companies found me, so opportunities came my way. But this last time, talk about a hiring manager, what I did is I went through my LinkedIn contacts, and I had I have thousands of those. But I narrowed it down to the ones that I thought could get me where I needed to go, and I narrowed them down again and again until I got to about the top 25. And one of the guys on there that I approached, I talked to, and he wasn't a hiring manager. He was vice president with the company that I'm at today, but he knew me. He knew my background. And so subsequently finding out what's going on with his company, they did want to hire somebody to do what I do, and he referred me to the president. I spoke with the president, which is the hiring manager, and subsequently got hired, and I've been there now a month and a half, I guess. So it's been good. But the best way I can recommend to get with a hiring manager, to get with any good contacts, is go through your basic contacts, who you have and how do you have them. For me, it's LinkedIn. I'm very LinkedIn. I'm in alternative fuels, and I have as many contacts as I can get in the world of alternative fuels. So a little different industry, but there are hundreds of them there for me to work with. So
good. Tell us what you said. What did you, when you first called the guy that you ended up having the first conversation with, what were the words that came out of your mouth? What did you say?
Well, I think when I called him, I said, John, this is Brad Wagoner. I said, I sent you an email. What I did, I sent him an email first, and then I called him before he had a chance to really read it, intentionally so. And I said, not sure if you remember me. We met a year ago in May at the, Southwest Ohio NGV Day, and I knew he would. But anyway, and he said, yeah, I remember. And I said, what are you guys doing? Are you getting serious about alt fuels? And where are you going with this program? He said, you know, as a matter of fact, we wanted to, and then we've had a lot of things come up. We had a guy that was involved in this, and that guy left in January, and we've just kind of put it on the back burner because of other things going on. We're actually looking to divest our company, our group of companies, from the parent companies. And so that's taken a lot of time, and he explained that to me, and I said, well, where do you want to go? He said, are you looking? I said, as a matter of fact, I am, and that's why I'm calling you, is to find out if there's a fit there where I can match what I want to do in alt fuels with where you guys want to go with it. Because there are a lot of different understandings of alt fuels and where people might fit in. But he said, oh, this is great. He said, I already know everything I need to know, but let me call Ross, our president, and have him get back in touch with you. I said, fine. So that was the conversation. It was good. And I told him I'd send him the email. And of course, he read that and had the resume and all that stuff attached. But
very good. Let's take a couple of minutes and analyze what Brad did. Who would like to give some feedback on the techniques and the strategies that he used in that call that we could use in some of our calls?
Well, first he advised this person. I beg your pardon. Thank you. First, he advised this person that he was going to be calling by email, and that paved the way so that the hiring manager or the contact was expecting a call.
Good, good. What else?
It sounded like he had more of an open question at the beginning, asking him about the company and its future more than else to kind of break the ice.
Yeah. What do you think of that idea? Is that a good idea sometimes? I think that's absolutely brilliant. I need to write that on my sample scripts here on page 3. That was very good. He asked an open question about the business. He wasn't so specific of, I'm looking for a job, you know, what do you know? He talked about the business. He talked about the industry because he knows a lot about it. Who has Mike? Go ahead.
He reminded him how he met him.
Yes, very good.
He said, oh, yep. You remember me? I met you last year, whatever.
Part 5, Section 4, went through his network. Very good. Anything else? Yes.
You talked about the company's initiatives and what their initiatives were to make the changes in the areas that he could fit into the corporation.
Good. One thing that I absolutely thought was brilliant is he didn't even say, I'm looking for a job. He waited till they said it to him. It just became obvious from the course of the conversation. You don't...
What have you guys done about your alternative fuels program or something like that? That was his open-ended question to me.
Yeah, it is, but he didn't say, I'm looking for a job, you want to hire me. But he basically established a need. You know, what are you guys doing? Well, hey, you need somebody to run that? This is where it would have gone. Go ahead.
Well, he also remembered the conversation that he had 6 months or a year before that, and knew where to apply the question.
Yeah, good. Make sure you're taking detailed notes on the techniques and the strategies. I believe the way to do better is to use techniques and strategies. And so whatever he did, you're going to forget when you walk out of this room. So make good notes on that. Okay, who else has a good success story? It's got to be somebody else in here.
Hi, I'm Lisa McCann. I went after a hiring manager who I knew was going to a conference that I had attended and been a member of before, the marketing executives of the National Restaurant Association. So I went to a previous vendor who I knew was attending, who, you know, I'd paid a lot of money over the years, and I asked her if she met this guy there, could she mention my name so that I had the excuse then to. It was a cold call to him, and it ended up being a position that they were thinking about creating and buying 50 restaurants, and he was ready to offer it to me, and they didn't buy them. So it's not a total success story. He wanted to hire me, but it was a way of kind of networking and getting to someone in a way that, I knew I couldn't afford the $1,500 to go to the, you know, to go to the conference, but by using someone you've worked with in the past to maybe reach that person so that when I did call him, he was very open to it.
Great. What did you say to the person you called?
When I called him or my vendor friend?
Both.
My vendor friend, I had been, you know, keeping her updated on my search, and on my resume, it says that I'm a member of this group, and like the renewal is $2,000. So, you know, obviously I wasn't in a position to be doing that. I reminded her of some people I knew there. So I provided her with a couple leads.
Just role play the script.
So hi, Leslie, Lisa McCann. She does pricing for restaurants. I said, I just was interviewing or speaking with some people when I was interviewing for a company where the position wasn't right, but might be a right client for you. And they're going to be attending the Marketing Executives Conference. So I'm giving her a lead.
Good.
Then in return, I was asking, I said, by the way, I'm interested in this one company that's located in New Jersey. I see that this guy's a member. I'm looking up, you know, in my directory, you know, could you keep your eye out for him? It's a 3-day conference. She gave him the, oh, she's great and wonderful story when she met him, and then kind of paved the way.
Awesome.
Unfortunately, you know, the position didn't happen, but, you know, it worked for me that way.
That's good. You had a positive experience. Okay, what are some of the things that Alyssa did well with that approach that she had? There's a couple more things in there that we didn't hear from Brad.
She said it when, you know, she gave them something, a benefit, before she asked for a benefit in return.
Love that. 'Tis more blessed to give than receive. Did you have something, Larry? Same thing. Okay. Did you have something there, Brad?
Same thing. That's always excellent when you're giving someone something before you ask for something.
Yeah, very good. Sometimes you may do that 3 years in advance. You may give something to somebody. 3 years later, you might get something back. You know, one thing that Brad said that I made a note of, you know, you've heard the saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. The actual truth is, it's not who you know, it's who knows you. Your next job interview started the day you started work. And it started with the excellence that you started building into your career. The things you started learning, the way you started treating people, the skills you learned and developed. Because those are the people that you worked with in the past that remember your good work and your enjoyable personality, and they will be willing to help you because you were good at what you did. We'll have one more. We've got time for one more. Yes.
She needs me to tell my story. I wanted to get into health information management, and I called up UT Southwest, the clinical side and the outpatient side, and asked to talk to the hiring managers. And I just asked for a few minutes of their time to talk to them. And we played phone tag with both of them a couple of times, and I let it go for a while. And then I called them like a month later, and both of them were like, oh, I'm so glad you called back. Yes, I'll talk to you, and da-da-da-da-da. And the one lady was too busy to meet with me, but I met the other lady. And I just said, I just want to find out about health information management. And she said, oh, come on over. So I went over to UT Southwest, and she took me to lunch. I don't know if that was the right way to do it, but she ended up paying. And she was talking to me, and she was all enthusiastic and told me about her whole company, and I could tell that she was very enthusiastic about what she did, and she was very nice. And I said, is there any way I would fit into health information management? And she's like, I'm not sure because you don't have the proper credentials, but you're smart, and you've done this and this, so I think you probably could. So about a month later, I saw a job opening in her department. So I actually called her. I applied, and I called her back and said, Shauna, I applied for this job. What do you think? She's like, I'm not sure you would fit, but I'll pass it along. And I don't know what she did behind the scenes, but they did call me and say, oh, would you like to interview? And I interviewed with the other people, the other managers, ended up getting a job. It didn't last for very long because it was kind of contract to hire, but I did get a job for 5 months out of it, and she loved me. And at the end, she was still like, you know, if you need anything else, let me know. So, yeah, that was a pretty much cold call.
Very good. Very good. You did some things that we haven't heard from before. What were some of those extra things that you did that you noticed in what she said?
Cold call.
Did you make a pure cold call? Yeah, that's one. What else?
Followed up even though she had no response.
Yeah. Speak to that a minute, would you?
Followed up even though she had no response?
Yeah, that's good. And one, you know, you waited a month. I think it's, you don't want to hound people. Don't call them every day. They're busy. You're busy. We're all busy. Give them some time to get to you on their to-do list. But after a period of time, you know, 1 month may have been too long, or it may not have been. It may have been perfect. If you pray about it, maybe God's timing will be better than your own. I know in my life I've tried to force so many things, and I have fought so many battles and have done it the hard way that it probably wasn't the smartest way to go about it. So, anybody got any other comments or feedback before we move on to the next section? Larry again.
We're all a networker, and we all hear of other people that are looking for a job. And I think that's a great door opener. If we see jobs and we see managers and we know of people that we've heard their qualifications, that could be a great opening door for calling up a manager and says, hey, you may want to check this person out. And it could be somebody else in the network group that you're in.
Absolutely. So how do you write a script? I think the best way is to start by saying, hello, David. My name is Thane. I am a senior .NET developer, whatever it is. And then you go from there based on what you know. And so on the last page, there are three scripts. There are three different scripts. The first one is about somebody that's just graduated and is calling to get some advice. Probably most of you have already read these. I'll just read them real quick for you. Hi, is this John? Yes. Oh, hi, John. My name is Sarah. I recently received my page has faded out here, marketing degree from UTD, and I'm looking for an entry-level marketing position. I know Chesapeake has an excellent marketing department and that you've been the marketing director there for about 6 years, and we're both members of the Dallas Marketing Association. I realize you are very busy, but I was wondering if you might have 10 to 15 minutes to meet with me, a new grad, sometime so that I could learn a little bit more about your company and how you got to be where you are in your career. That's one approach. One approach when you're trying to get some advice and get in the door. The second one is you already have the skill set and you've heard about a particular position. I see that you're looking to add an accounts payable specialist to your team. I was hoping maybe you could help me. That's a really good technique. Ask people for their help. Ask them for their help. People love to help. Dallas is a wonderful city. I came from New Zealand and people there are pretty helpful. But when I came here at the age of 25 and started my own business at the age of 26, I can't tell you how thankful and how grateful I am to people like you that helped me get my business going when I was just a young kid and really didn't know anything, but acted like I did until I did. So ask for help. Are you the person who's handling the hiring? If you're not, then perhaps you could point me in the direction of who is. Let them respond. If they are, then what you want to do is you want to ask them if they have a quick minute, and then you want to really quickly go through your bullet points. I think an elevator speech here, the 30-minute commercial is too long. You need to shorten it down. Sorry?
30-second.
30-second? What did I say?
30-minute.
Yeah, that's too long too. I think 30 seconds is too long here. In sales, they teach you that you have 17 seconds from the first, from when you first meet somebody until you either get them or lose them. So you've already used up 8 of your seconds saying your first 2 sentences. You've really only got a very few seconds here to capture them. So the bullet points that this person has are, I've got 7 years of AP experience in the telecom and entertainment industries. Now, if they're in a completely different industry, does it really matter what industry this person here has experience in? I would say no. If you're going to be calling somebody, it's easiest to pick somebody from an industry you already have some experience in. So hopefully this person is calling somebody in either the telecom industry or the entertainment industry. That will prick their ear up. Now they want to keep listening. I'm very familiar with both Great Plains and QuickBooks, as you listed on your job description, and I type 85 words a minute and 14,000 characters per hour with a 99% accuracy in time tests. That's a real quick bullet. I think that any AP manager would want to know of the existence of somebody that spoke articulately, that had the chutzpah to actually make a call in the first place and speak articulately, paying careful attention to being aware of their time, and could describe what they did in such a very short period of time. No hiring manager wouldn't want to know this person. If you like what I've told you, would it be appropriate for me to send you a copy of my resume and hopefully set a time to come and interview with you in person? They can either say yes or no. Who cares? Who really cares what they say? It really doesn't matter. But if there is an opening and it's not already filled, and you sound great on the phone and you've said that, they're going to want to bring you in. If it's somebody else, well, what do you do now? Okay, darn, it's not this person. I've got to do this all over again. Well, here's a way to make it easier for yourself. Just say, thanks for telling you who it is or whatever, and then said, what do you think is the best way for me to connect with them where I don't get lost in the online quagmire of anonymous resumes? I deliberately used the long phrase there. Online quagmire of anonymous resumes. I like to speak that way. Maybe it's not your personality. Maybe you don't want to use a phrase like that. But you've got to give them a reason. You've got to give them a reason why that's sort of a benefit to them that's not self-serving to you as to why they are going to give you this information. And I think that the best reason we've got is we all know that if we apply online, we just disappear. That's why I'm calling you in the first place. So ask them, again, ask them for their help. What's the best way for me to connect with this person? Well, why don't you send me your resume and I'll forward it to them, and then you can follow up with them in a couple of days. Okay, great. What's the next question out of your mouth? Sorry?
You want to know how to reach the right person.
Right, exactly. Well, they don't until you ask.
Yes.
Here's a saying to live by. The answer is always no until you ask. So ask. They can always say, well, I don't feel comfortable giving that out. Well, then what do you say? Yeah, well, they've sent it to you. They're going to forward it on. Then they say, I don't really feel comfortable giving out this person's contact details to you. This is worst case scenario. Now what do you say? Sorry? Say that again?
I said, can I follow up with you?
That would be one way. What did you say back there? Go to the database? Yep. There's a lot of ways to get that name. You could just say thank you and hang up and then go and do your research on your own. What's another great response to what they said? Perfect. Why does that work? This works when you get a telemarketing call. You get a telemarketing call and they're about to sell you something. They don't ask for your address and social security number up front. They say, what's your zip code? We don't care. We'll give out our zip code all day long. Now they're starting down this funnel of giving you information. Great, I understand that you don't want to give out their contact information because they're a very busy person, as are you and so am I. Put yourself on their league and say, can I at least have their job title so that when I do have a chance to follow up, I can know who would be calling me back. That might be one way to do it. There's a lot of approaches. Another way to do it is to call somebody else in the company and accidentally get the wrong extension. And just say, oh, I was trying to reach, are you the director of marketing? No, that's somebody else. And they'll tell you their name often. Another great technique that you can't take beyond this room is to use an educated guess. If you've been on LinkedIn, you've already done your homework, there might be four people that are senior project managers of whatever, and you've got their names ready. They're on your screen. Maybe you've printed off. You're frantically flipping through your papers while this call is going on, trying to listen while trying to think, while trying to find information. And so you've got these four senior project managers, and you go, oh, is it Dave or Bill? Oh, no, it's Susan. They'll sometimes give you the name if they think you know something else. I'll tell you why that works. If you have watched a movie and then you say to me, oh, have you seen Gladiator? And I say, no, I haven't. What happens? Conversation over. Oh, okay. But if you say, have you seen Gladiator? And I go, oh, yeah, man, my favorite part was that fighting scene at the beginning. That was just so amazing to me. Oh, yeah, blah, blah. And before you know it, you're in a conversation. People want to tell you things when they think you already know something. That's why your research in the beginning and tell them what you know is vitally important. If you already know they're hiring, or you know, you've read the news and you saw something about them on the news or the company on the news, you know, I understand you guys are expanding, you're building a new facility in Euless or whatever it is. I know you're going to be hiring a lot of people. Are you putting your accounting department in Euless? No, that's staying in San Francisco. Oh, well, end of conversation right there. Well, tell me about the kinds of people you're looking for. Maybe I know some people that could come to work for you. Give before you receive. Maybe that accounting department's going to move there next year, next month. Who knows? Well, maybe that person will remember you that you did something for them. Any other comments? Anybody want to make any comments about anything we've talked about so far? Here's a third example. This is when you're making a general introduction. Just a pure general introduction. You've looked, you've scoured, you've asked, you can't find a job opening as of today. Often companies will post jobs on their job site that they don't actually have a particular position for, just so they can continually be collecting those kinds of resumes. But let's say you can't find anything. Hi, Philip. I know you guys have a big engineering group and you're always hiring top talent. I didn't notice a particular job opening at the moment, but I wanted to call and introduce myself to you so that when an opening does come up, you'd think of me. It's so easy to get lost in the online shuffle, which is why I've called you directly. Would it be appropriate for me to send you or one of your colleagues my resume, which showcases my 17 years of electrical engineering experience with high-tech companies like yours? No hiring manager worth their salt, no hiring manager that you want to go to work for wouldn't say yes to that. No, they're always hiring people. They always want to know more good people. It takes 2 seconds for them to give you their email address, and now they've got your resume. Or they might say, send it to HR. That's fine, whatever it takes. Next question. This is really powerful and really useful. Think about who this person is. They're a hiring manager that hires a lot of people. Who are their friends? Their friends are the guys they went to college with, the guys that they worked for at all the other companies that they worked for before they came here. What do their friends do? The same thing they do. The birds of a feather flock together. Ask this next question. Also, while I've got you on the phone, do you know any other companies that might be hiring people like me? Oh, yeah, you should call Patricia over at ABC Company. Oh, fantastic. I know, real quick, what are they looking for? You know, maybe ask another couple of follow-on questions. If they give you a lead, now, I want you to be aware of the wording on the very last sentence here. When they give you a lead, say, thank you very much. Is there anyone there you know who I should ask for? That's a little bit clumsy of a wording, but I did it on purpose. Why? Why? Doesn't sound rehearsed? Very good. Sometimes I act. Sometimes I am not as articulate as I can be. Sometimes I'll go, sometimes I'll stop and pause. Sometimes I'll sound surprised by answers when I know the answer was coming. Really? You don't hire people through agencies? When, like, everybody else is doing it, you should be too. Sorry, what did you say?
To emphasize it? Yeah.
Talk more about why you think that you'd be emphasizing it.
I mean, just kind of what he said, like, to, you know, emphasize that.
because it's not worded verbatim, you know, so people can, you know.
Okay. It's actually, that could be true. You want them to hear your words. People tune out when they hear the same thing the same way. By the way, have I said any words you guys can't understand? Am I speaking clear enough American English for everybody here today? If I say something you don't get, just raise your hand, Jerry, not you though. I worded it this way to soften it. Go ahead.
I was going to guess that, is it the more straightforward I think of is, do you know anyone there?
And exactly.
So it sounds, this way sounds, isn't as obvious that you're trying to exploit what they have to help you.
Brilliantly worded.
It's actually two questions, too.
It's two questions in one?
Yeah.
Hand on the mic, please.
It's two questions. Is there anyone there you know? And then who I should ask for?
Yeah, that's true. There are two questions written down there. Is there anyone there you know I should ask for? Right. And what you hope they'll do is, because it's worded so softly, they'll just tell you the name of their friend that's the hiring manager, if they haven't already volunteered that information. So, now we're going to actually write some scripts, and we've got some, we're all going to help each other. And we've got some people here in the room that will go around and help you, some people that have been hiring managers, people that have been recruiters. So under the section there where it says number 4 under script, hello, my name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father, prepare to die. We're going to write down your script. Now, at the very bottom of that, of number 4, I put down some little pointers to help you. The word reason, ask for help, benefit, compliment, tell them what you know, and then finish with a behavioral question. We haven't talked about what a behavioral question is. Perhaps we should do that real quick. You can ask an emotional question, you can ask a throwaway question, and you can ask a behavioral question. An emotional question uses the word interested. In 37 years of selling, I can knock on wood, only one person in 37 years of selling, I started when I was 10 years old, has ever said to me, I'm not interested. And I thought, why in the world did you say you're not interested? I didn't even ask you a question about how you're feeling. I used the same script that I had used for 2 years solid with this one person who was obviously afraid or very busy, and her natural response was, I'm not interested. You can word everything you say in such a way that nobody can ever say, I'm not interested. So if you're getting, I'm not interested, or some other shutdown that doesn't make sense to you, that's an opportunity for growth. As steel sharpens steel, so one person sharpens another. It's a quote from Proverbs. Learn. If it didn't work, go back and learn the next one. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute, but I just want us to get into writing some scripts here. Feel free to write 2 or 3 or 5 or 10, and we'll come around and work with you on that. Put in a reason. Ask them for help. Put in a benefit to them. Compliment them on something that you may or may not know about them that you will have researched. Tell them what you know and finish with a behavioral question, which is, are you guys hiring at the moment? Or what are you guys doing with your alternative engineering department? Whatever it might be appropriate. So let's just have some fun doing this. Raise your hand if you want some help. Okay, this is your session. I just happen to be up the front. What would you like to do now? Does anybody here feel that they don't have what they think is a really powerful script that can get an introduction? If you don't think you have one, then raise your hand. One person. Did you raise your hand?
Yeah.
1.5 people. That was a quick raise. 2 people. Okay, we'll work individually with you, but we'll move on right now. Were you going to say something?
I would encourage you guys, before you leave today, or I'm not sure if you're going to do this right now, but share it with the individuals at your table, or if you've already shared it with an individual that only have 2, then come on over and get with another group so that people get to hear you and you get to rehearse it out loud here where it's safe, and let's see what the listeners hear. What are, is it selling them?
Okay, let's just take 5 minutes and do that real quick.
So, you guys share? I would a church like this, you'd probably, oh my gosh, this church is so supportive.
Okay. What questions does anybody have? Is there anything that you guys think you'd want to talk about here for the next 20 or 30 minutes before we wrap up?
Can you touch a little bit about how you were talking? You left off about behavioral questions and the way to frame it where they don't give you no as an answer.
They may give you a no. See, it doesn't matter if you get a yes or a no, because the no means you're learning. You're learning, mm-hmm. This company doesn't have something for me. You're not going to talk everybody into giving you an interview. You're not going to talk everybody into spending 10 to 15 minutes with you or whatever you're asking for. And that's okay, because this room was filled with rocks and there was gold under five of the rocks, and it was a significant amount of gold. How many of those rocks would you be willing to turn over to find the gold underneath the five rocks when there are 20,000 rocks under here? You would pick them all up. You wouldn't even think about it. There would be no emotional attachment to a rock that had no gold under it. And you would probably leave it turned over so you knew not to go back to that one. And you would have a pattern and you'd work your way across the room. Ha, I got 4 out of 5. You know what? This is enough money for me. I'm done. I'm going home today. I'm tired. So it doesn't matter if you get a no, but you want to get the right kind of no so that you can know when to follow up.
Right.
So a question could be, this is my background. Does your company ever hire people with this kind of skill set? No, we never do. That's okay. Now you know which rock not to pick up again. Mm-hmm. Not a problem. That was a behavioral question, by the way. Does your company ever hire? Hire is a verb. Any question that's got a verb in it is a behavioral question. Okay. But the word interested should never come out of your mouth. If you're using the word interested, would you be interested in me sending... No! Just stay away from the word interested. Whatever you come up with as your script, try to figure out how to say it without using the word interested, and you'll be way ahead of the game. Did that answer your question?
Yes.
When you said Hang on. I'm inquiring with interest.
That's got the word interested in it.
Oh, okay. So how could she say that without using the word interested?
So ask again.
Well, I have used that like on cover letters. You know, I'm inquiring with interest to your position that's been advertised on.
Oh, that would be okay.
On a cover
letter.
That'd
be
okay.
Fine.
Okay. But not with calling.
Yeah, don't say, are you interested in seeing a copy of my resume?
Okay.
I'm busy.
Yeah, that's the question you're asking them. When you're telling them you're interested in their organization, that's a different statement.
Yeah.
What other questions do you have that would help you be empowered to get on the phone this afternoon or tomorrow and get a hold of the people that you really want to get a hold of? I'm going to expect that absolutely every single person in this room will do it, will do it successfully, and email me and tell me, or call me and tell me your success stories. This is not a place of learning. This is a place of preparation for action. So what do you need to know that will empower you to do that this afternoon or tomorrow? Not next month, not next year, but tomorrow. You're here because you wanted to get something out of it. Everybody need anything in particular? Everybody knows everything?
I'm curious, are there other turn-off words or any turn-on words?
Craig, love it. Turn to page 2. I'm gifted.
Instead of saying, I excel, because for how many months I've been taught, I excel at, I am gifted at.
The
very good.
Concept was that most individuals hesitate to talk about themselves or brag on themselves. So the solution is don't brag on yourself, brag on the one who gifted you. And how do you say it? I am gifted in essence, you're talking about the one who gave you the gifts, not yourself. So,
okay. On page, thank you for bringing that up. Second page, communication techniques. We'll just go straight to number four. Fear-inducing words and behaviors. What is a fear-inducing word and behavior? Has anybody, probably from sales, come across that term before? Never say, how are you today? Why not? The only people that ever say it are salespeople. You have just put yourself in the position of every other person that's about to be sold by somebody they don't want to even hear from. The first thing they will do, internally or verbally, is they will fold their arms. Don't say, how are you today? You might say, how are you? You know, if it's an introduction from somebody that you know, oh, hey, Philip told me to give you a call. I understand you're the marketing manager there. How are things going? How is your day going? You can say something like that, but don't choose the words, how are you today? Just don't use them. Fear-inducing words are words that make somebody think you're trying to sell them or trick them or manipulate them. They make that person want to shut down and not want to help you. The last question that we had on page three, is there anyone there you know who I should ask for? That is not a fear-inducing phrase. They've probably never heard it worded that way before. Jerry gave the standard way of saying it, which was?
Do you know anyone?
Right. Everybody says that. You want to sound a little bit original. Saying I'm gifted with, it's a little bit original than I'm really good at. Never say I'm a quick learner. I don't know how many thousands of people I've interviewed over the last 20 years. Everybody thinks they're a quick learner.
Can I share one of my pet peeves?
Yes.
Able. I don't care if you're able. I want to know if you will going to do it. So.
Okay. Using the word interested is another one. You know, would you be interested in seeing my resume? I would stay away from that. Fear-inducing behaviors is anything that makes them think that you, you know, like wringing your hands or continually scratching the back of your head. Liars do that when they've just said something that wasn't true. Then they scratch the back of their head. Have great eye contact, all that stuff. That's once you get in front of somebody. But don't say Try to avoid ums. That's why we're scripting it. Any other fear-inducing words that you might think of? If something isn't working for you, don't keep doing it. Try to figure out what it is and change it. If we can take away anything from today, it's nobody gets it right the first time. It doesn't really matter. I'll tell you a short story. When I first started selling a roofing product in New Zealand, I came to the States. I went to a three-day training camp with Tom Hopkins Boot Camp. Really, really good material. Cost my company a lot of money to send me here. I already was coming for my brother's wedding, so I was already coming to the States. I spent the month that I had on vacation, not vacationing, I spent that whole month reading Tom Hopkins' book, How to Master the Art of Selling Anything. There are pictures of me laying out on the rocks at the lake reading this book instead of swimming in the water. So I got back to New Zealand and I took these words that Tom Hopkins had taught me. Hello, my name is Thane Hayhurst. I'm with Carter Holt Harvey Roofing. I notice you have an older concrete tile roof. Here's my business card in hopes that we can do business in the future. Or actually in the years ahead. The first person said to me, well, concrete lasts forever. So in New Zealand, a lot of roofs are made out of a lightweight concrete tile. It's kind of like the terracotta roofs we have here. And over time, they lose their coating. They're painted bright colors, reds, blues, greens, browns. There's not everybody's got a charcoal gray shingle roof like we do here in Texas, or at least Dallas. So the first person I went up to, I had this brilliant presentation memorized. I still remember this. This was in 1989, I said that. And he said, he was an older guy, and he said, well, concrete lasts forever. And I thought, well, if I go to the next house, and I say the same thing, and he says the same thing, I am never going to make a sale. So I went and sat in my car, and I sat there for maybe 10, 12 minutes, and I went, what in the world am I going to say? What I've got to come up with has got to be worded in such a way that he will never say, but concrete lasts forever. And I can't remember all the different iterations, but I went door to door, changing up my presentation, until what I came up with was this. My name is Thane Hayhurst. I'm with Carter Holt Harvey Roofing. which, by the way, Carter, just to give you some insight, Carter Holt Harvey is like IBM or Coca-Cola. It's a very well-known company, well-respected. It was easy to sell their services. I notice you have an older roof that's lost its surface coating. We're offering free inspections. I have a fold-up ladder in my car and a Polaroid camera. I've just aged myself again. What I'll do is I'll get up on your roof. You're welcome to come with me if you'd like. If I see any problems on your roof, I'll take some pictures of it. If I come down with no pictures, you know your roof is in great condition. Now, I already know their roof has problems because of its age. There is not a roof that's 25 years old that doesn't have cracks in the mortar, lichen growing in the channels, broken tiles, all that kind of stuff. So I got up there, I took the pictures of the appropriate stuff, I came down, I went to my car, I worked out my little quote. I said, okay, I found some things, but before I go through that, let me just sit down and talk with you about, you know, about why we do this and, you know, what the process would be if you wanted to get anything done. That was my basic approach. That was my introduction. But I kept changing it until there was no objection. Who in the world wouldn't want some young guy that looks and presents himself in a reasonably honest manner, which I was and I still am, from a reputable company, give them a free inspection? Nobody gets up on their roof. So I got to do a lot of those. I had a pretty much 100% closing ratio with my introduction. You can work on what you're saying and the way you say it, your tone, your manner. Don't talk too slowly, but don't be breathless when you get your words out. But talk quickly. Until you get perfection in your approach. Never blame the other person. Never say, oh, it's their fault. Oh, he's an idiot. He just doesn't get it. She doesn't understand. Never, ever blame. A lot of salespeople do that. They blame their own failure on the other person instead of taking responsibility and learning for themselves and perfecting. Practice your technique and perfect your performance. I've said it before, a steel sharpens steel, so one person sharpens another. I never see failure as failure, but only as an opportunity to practice my techniques and perfect my performance. I never see failure as failure, but only as the negative feedback I need to change course in my direction. I learned that in 1989 from Tom Hopkins. I still know it today. That has been a mantra that has helped me learn and grow and change and develop. So, if you're not getting what you want, figure out why not, change it. Change your tone of voice. Change the way you speak. Change your attitude. Are you praying? Are you visualizing? Do you really believe in yourself? Do you need to go and work somewhere else for a while and get your confidence in your own ability that may have waned or may have never been there? It's really easy, if you're good, to call and be good. I mostly do IT recruiting. And my technique for finding out if somebody is good or not isn't necessarily to ask them all of the questions about, you know, well, tell me what a class is. Well, what's a invariant variable? Or I don't know, I'm making up words now. But it's to listen to their voice. How do they sound? How do they sound? Do they sound confident? Are they speaking with authority? And of course, you ask the same question to 25 people, and if this person's got a completely different answer than the other 24, then that's another way to know it without actually knowing it. So whatever it is that is not getting you where you want to go, just keep learning and have fun with it. Just have fun. Start not with your number one client choice necessarily. Start with, you know, some company that doesn't really matter, and just practice, practice, practice. One thing that I used to do when I was first getting into sales, is that too loud now? When I was first getting into sales, was I would be afraid to get on the phone at the beginning of the day. Let's say tomorrow morning, you get up, you dress for success, you pray, you have some quiet time in God's word, you're ready to go. I am going to do this. I've done my research. I know I'm good at what I do. Somebody is going to be lucky to hire me. Oh man, but I don't know. What if they say something I don't know the answer to? What if they ask me my question, like, why have you been off work for 12 months? Or why did you get laid off from your last job? I haven't perfected my answer, or whatever it is. Who cares? The thing that worked for me when I was trying to sell and I would have these same fears and these same negative thoughts pop in my head is I would call AT&T customer service and I would do something on my phone's service. Hey, you double charged me on this thing last month. Just make a call. In other words, just make a call. Make a business call to somebody. If you don't have a business call, you can make one up. Call Time Warner Cable and see if they've got a great deal on TV this week. Just make that first call, and with a business person, all of a sudden it just becomes so much easier. Then you get on the phone, you've got your script, you know it works for the most part, and you keep using it. When I first came here, I decided to start selling IT services, and I wrote out a script, which I haven't used since 1992. But it goes something like this. Hi, my name is Thane Hayhurst. Can I please speak to the person in charge of your computer systems, please? Oh, yeah, that's Dave. Hi, Dave. My name is Thane Hayhurst. I'm with Kiwi Computer Services. We're a full-service computer and networking company. I wasn't sure what your situation was. I just wanted to give you a call and see how I could make your life easier and save you some money. Now, point one here is the anatomy of a conversation. I'd like to share with you the anatomy of a conversation real quick. When I said that, there was only three things that they would ever say in response. So here was my introduction. They would either say this or this or this. Sometimes it would be a question. Oh, really? How can you save me money? Or how can you make my life easier? When they said that, I said that. I had a perfect answer for that. If they said, well, we've got it all taken care of. I had an answer for that. Oh, really? How are you doing that at the moment? Well, it's my brother-in-law. Well, you got any single sisters? I can join your family too. I've said that to people. They'd say, yeah, actually, we've got a problem right now. How would you fix blah, 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 blah? Whatever it was. So I had a database, and I tracked all these people, and I changed the date from today till next month or next week or tomorrow, whenever I wanted to call somebody back. And I just got on the phone all day, every day. I had $150 to my name. I had a car payment for a cheap car because I had no credit when I first came here. So I didn't even know what I was going to be able to eat that next day. I didn't even have the money to eat the next day. When they said this and I said that, they would then say one of two things. If they said this, then the conversation ended. They didn't have a need for my services. If they said this, then I would find out when would be the best time to follow up. From here, they would say that. Then I would say that. Then they would say one of those three things. And then I would say that or that or that or that. And the tree would carry on down until either I got to the point of when. It was always when. It was never I'm not interested. It was never we will never have a need. It was one day you're going to have a need. You got a guy right now that's doing a good job. Hopefully he will always do a good job for you, but maybe one day he'll mess up and you'll need somebody else or he's not going to be available. That's when I want you to call me. Or maybe we'll give you a better price. Let me just give you a competitive quote. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Here's what you'll learn after you make enough calls. You will get to have fun with this because you'll say this and you know they're going to say one of these three things. There's really nothing else that anybody can say. Then you'll have your comeback that you know works. How do you know if you've got a great script? Easy. If when I say this, they say this, and this is a very bad thing for me, then I know I need to change this. For example, if I said, I don't know, can't even think of a good example. I'm looking for a job. Do you want to hire me? I need to make 250 grand. And they go, that's a ridiculous amount of money. We don't ever pay more than 80. That's like, oh man, I would have taken 80. So if whatever they come back with is a bad thing, or then you need to either understand that this company is not the right one for you to be reaching out to, or you need to change what you say. One step up. If you get all the way down here, man, I have beaten myself up for 3 days when I know I've said the wrong thing. I'll have done a perfect conversation either in person or over the phone in my business life or my personal life, and we'll be way down here, and then all of a sudden, I get cut off. And I go, darn it, man, why? And I will play in my mind over and over and over again. Don't beat yourself up about it, but learn. Learn from your previous experiences. Figure out what I should have said. What I would learn is what I should have said. What should I have said? I hope that today from going around the room, you could see that it's pretty easy to quickly make up the right words once you've practiced. So analyze yourself. The reason I can do that is because I've spent so many hours and months of my life learning what I shouldn't have said and what I should have said. You could do the same thing. And you can take these skills forward into every area of your life. Listening skills. Who here thinks they're a good listener? What makes you a good listener?
You don't interrupt. You don't always anticipate what they will say, but you hear them.
Can I have that mic, please, for him? Can you say that again into the mic?
You don't interrupt them, and you not are anticipating what they're going to say. You really are hearing what they're saying rather than just anticipating.
That is really good. Part of mine, one of the mistakes that I've made in my life over and over and over again is anticipating what they were going to say, being too worried about what I was going to say, and it never sounded right because it wasn't intelligently based on what they said. So that's really good. Who else is a good listener, and what makes you a good listener?
Well, thing you just were anticipating all these other responses.
I'll tell you why. I've done it before.
You know, there is also something that needs to be noted that has been stated, but not directly. That means you're going to have to track your calls. You're going to have to be conscientious about that.
Yep. And remember, have fun with it. Just have fun with it. It doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things if everybody says no or everybody says yes. Just enjoy the process and learn. Brad was going to say something, I think.
One way to be a good listener that I try to do is I think ahead before I'm going to have the conversation. I try to ask them a question that I know they want to answer. You know,
say
you ask
again?
Somebody about their business.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are really doing good. I noticed your stock's up or whatever the case is, or I saw you moving into this arena. How's it going? Right then, almost everybody, all but maybe 1%, they want to talk. And that makes you a good listener because you got something to listen to.
Good. I like to listen with a pen in my hand, a pen and a bit of paper. I learned this technique by mistake when I was first selling way back in New Zealand. I wanted to write down what they said. Well, they spoke quicker than I could write, so that what I would do is I would say, you think your roof is fine. When I said back what they said and wrote down, you think your roof is fine, they would go, yeah, blah, 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 and they're carrying on talking about it. You know, it's a listening technique that every counselor uses. So sometimes simply feeding back what they say makes you a good listener too. Good.
A couple of the questions I like to ask is get them talking about something that they can brag about with their business.
Good.
And then ask them what their greatest pain point is to achieve the next step, because you may be the solution for that next pain point.
Love it.
On that.
Doesn't matter how high up or how low down on the totem pole your job is. There's always a pain point. The last person didn't do something well. That's their pain point. You don't have to say, what did the last person do well? You can just say, you know, what is your pain point here that you're really looking for in the person that's going to fill this position right? Very good. Go ahead. Larry, we'll have you.
Pete, talking here, you said I should ask a question in my pitch earlier, and I came up with a question, but the question seemed vague to me, but the more I thought about it, that's actually probably a strong place to be, is to ask a vague question that is pertinent to them that they may want to answer.
What's your question?
Well, it was like I introduced myself to Hughes Corporation, say, you guys have a great reputation on real estate development and an even better reputation as the people you employ. How are you guys handling your systems development or your systems deployment? You know, something that's vague enough where if they have a problem or it's a pain point for them, they may go into it, or if they want to brag about it, they can brag about it, but it's something that's going to force them to think about how they answer that question.
Good. That's good. I actually like that. Now, here's a caution about questions, and this is section 5 on here called a filler phrase. What is a filler phrase? A filler phrase is a phrase that you will enjoy using between your questions and after they give a response. So let's do it here. You ask a question, they give a response, you ask a question, they give a response, you ask a question. That can be interrogating. It's not really showing that you're listening. So a technique you can employ is to use a filler phrase. You ask a question, or they make a comment. Let's come back up here. Let's say they say something that you don't really like. Let's say they say, we don't have any openings right now. And the next words out of your mouth are, well, when will you have some openings? That's not a bad question. But what if you said something in between before you asked that question? If you said, yeah, that's okay, I figured you probably wouldn't. What have you just done? You've relieved the pressure for them. They feel pressure just the same as you feel pressure. So a filler phrase is a short phrase. It could be simple as, oh, I understand. Or, well, that makes sense to me. Or, well, actually, that's the reason I called. It's just a little sentence that shows you heard them that relieves the pressure. Otherwise, you're interrogating. Boom, 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 boom. Anybody got any questions on filler phrase? Jerry, do you have something?
Well, I was going to say... I was going to say, since you kind of went back to it earlier with what fear words related to this, I was thinking just the word job could be bad, because once you say that, they're thinking,
could be,
oh, he wants a job. That's why he's calling.
But there's not necessarily anything wrong with him knowing that, though, because that's why you are calling.
Okay.
You don't have to be too sneaky.
What do you think of, like, you know, using job versus the word job versus the word career? It's like, you know, career will make it sound more like you're interested in long term, and job sounds just need to pay the bills.
Could be. Yeah.
I overanalyze some things, believe it or not.
Yeah. So that's what a filler phrase is. Write down your own filler phrases, come up with a few of them and use them. It shows you listened. It shows you're concerned, you're letting the pressure go. Sometimes in a conversation, I will say to people, you know, maybe the best thing you should do is stay where you're working. And how does that make me, how does that help me as a recruiter make money? It doesn't. If they stay in their current job, I don't get a paycheck, because that person would have been a great fit for my client. But it's not the best thing for them. I had... a tree limb fell off my tree and took out my power line. And the first company that came over was going to charge an exorbitant price, but they were going to be there right then. They showed no concern for saving me as a homeowner money. The next guy that came out said, normally you have to replace the pole when it's bent, but let us come out and try to see if we can fix it for you. I immediately knew that he cared about my pocketbook. What are some phrases you can use that show that you are, that you care for who you're talking to on the phone? We know the obvious one. Oh, I know you're very busy, right? But beyond that, what are some other phrases in your field that you could use? Peter, what do you got?
Looking for ministry positions, I've asked, you know, what do you guys hope to accomplish in 6 months? What are you guys hoping to accomplish in a year? Because I want, and I'll say this right after I say that, because I want to make sure you get a good return on your investment.
Okay. That is a good open-ended question. Here is another technique that I love. It's called an educated guess. You can ask an open-ended question. What do you guys want to accomplish in the next 6 months? Or you can take a guess, a best guess, an educated guess on what you think that answer is. I would imagine that over the next 6 months, you want to maintain your current membership, deepen their relationships with Christ, and bring in new people that are seekers that we can plug in and have them work here. Is that close to what your guys' mission is? That's a lot more powerful than an open-ended question that, just to use quote marks, any dummy could ask. So show them that you know something by using the educated guess questioning technique. Good point, Peter. Thanks for bringing that up. Number 6, useful phrases and questions. Not every question is a good question. You can spend 30 minutes on the phone and get off the phone, and I'll say to you, well, did you get an interview? No. I had a great conversation, though. Talking isn't selling. Talking, you're selling yourselves right now. Talking isn't getting you closer to down the end here where you get to make a dollar, where you get to get a job. Some of these conversations end up with you getting a chance to make some money, and some of them... well, I made another connection. Maybe I can do something for this person in the future. So write down some really useful phrases. You know, the word I'm gifted at, that could be one of your useful phrases. Can anybody think of a powerful phrase that's worded a little bit better than the average way of saying something? That could be a useful phrase for you and your industry.
We just I suggested cold walking, a specific one, a specific company, which is...
Cold walking?
Cold walking. Just walk into Dallas Police Station off of Lamar, and you're interested in talking to somebody there. You go up to the police officer, say, look, I am a servant at heart, and I would love to serve you guys. Who would I talk to? Yeah. Open-ended.
I love it. You could do that on the phone. It could be as simple as that on the phone. So write down some useful phrases and some questions that lead you closer to finding out what the opportunities are within that organization, rather than just having a general chit-chat that really isn't going anywhere. It's not purposeful. So what are the acceptable outcomes? Number one, yes, I'd love you to have come in and interview for a job. Obviously, that's what we're all looking for eventually. But what are some other acceptable outcomes for you on your calls? I wrote one in here for you. Somebody can at least say that one.
Call HR.
Okay. That may be a dead end, or that may be a good place to go. What are some other good potential outcomes for your either walking in the door, just opening up the office and walking in it, or on the phone? Or it could be an email.
Them not having something but knowing somebody that does.
Perfect. Good. What's another one?
Yeah, I was just going to say they can give you a name of somebody else in the organization that you could talk to. Not necessarily, it sounded like he meant a different company, but same, oh, why don't you talk to Susan over in this department instead?
Yeah, that's good. Not yet. Not yet is a perfectly acceptable answer. You don't want to get a we're not interested. If you're phrasing everything right, have great personality coming through the phone, ask God for help, visualize success, follow a well-written script that doesn't sound rehearsed, take a deep breath and just do it.
I think a no can also be an acceptable answer, because okay. It's going to eliminate that and you move on. There is one job you're looking for. Not every conversation is going to wind up in a yes. So if you get a no, you're closer to that yes.
Well, that is true. I didn't mean no from a company that you don't want to go to work for, or shouldn't be working for, or that will never have somebody that hires you. Let's say, okay, what's a big company in town that hires a lot of people?
Pepsi.
Okay, so Pepsi. Pepsi has a job probably that all of us could go to work for. So if you're getting a no from a company like Pepsi, then that might be where you might want to figure out a reason why you got such a no. I'll tell you what you don't do. Don't send multiple copies of your resume to the same organization.
And you mean multiple copies that are different?
Yes,
or
multiple different. Don't change your resume up and send them to lots of different companies. I've had major corporations tell me, we will not hire this person because they have sent their resume 6 times to 6 different jobs, and they can't be well qualified for all of them. So just be careful of that when you do that. Closing skills. Let's say you end up having this great conversation. How do you finish it? What are some ways that you guys have closed for an appointment? And how do you know even when to close?
Did you say something?
Probe.
What does that mean?
When can I do a soft close?
I'm not a salesperson, but I kind of probe to see if we're in agreement and do a recap. I'm opposite of everybody else. I'm listening challenged, and so I have to make sure that I've heard what they said and that they're ready to close the conversation. So you kind of say, if I understand you correctly, or am I correct in understanding that we've... And then if they go, oh, no, then I know don't close there, you know. But because I'm very listening challenged. I'll talk their ear off.
Okay, that's good. Tom?
Give them 2 alternatives for appointments. Would Wednesday at 11 o'clock be good, or would Thursday at 4 o'clock be better?
Okay. That would be part of your closing sequence. To me, closing is part of a sequence. So It's like an airplane coming into the airport. It just doesn't go boop, and it's on the ground. It comes in, it circles around, it makes sure the field is clear. It checks with the tower. They open the flaps, they make people sit down, you put your seatbelt on, they do this and the next thing, and then they come down, they put the wheels down somewhere before they hit the ground, hopefully, and then they're on the ground. So there is a closing sequence, and you guys have alluded to pieces of that. Number three on here is buying signals. Go ahead.
I was just going to add one quick thing is, and I'm not a salesperson, but asking for the sale or getting to a place, and who knows when that is exactly, but you know, at some point, you've had a chance to get to know my background. Is there anything keeping you from keeping us from taking the next step? And what would it take to fill this position?
Good. Now, great point. I want to add one thing to that. That doesn't have to take a 20-minute conversation before you get to that point. That could happen 47 seconds into it. That could happen 2 minutes into it. It might not happen on the first call. You might want to leave it open-ended and then have a follow-up. So there's what I'm saying is there's no one way to do anything as long as you're moving the conversation in the right direction. If you reach a point where it's like, I have a total block, I do not know how to close this, then you might just say, I'm not really sure what the next step would be in our conversation. What do you propose? There is one of your power phrases. That's a power phrase. You can just pull it out of the air. Don't have to think about it.
Say it again.
I'm not really sure what the next step would be for us. What do you propose? Well, why don't you send me your resume? Or why don't you come in for an interview? Or why don't you call HR? Or, well, I don't really think that there will be a next step because I don't think that we have anything that would work with you. Great, thank you for your time. May I at least connect with you on LinkedIn? A buying signal is a signal that they have an interest. They ask lots of questions. They say things like, yes, we do have three openings in that department. Or, yeah, we do hire people like that all the time. Or whatever they might say. So the closing sequence, man, it's going to be different on every call. You start closing from the moment you start talking. Is this sounding echoey to you? It is to me. Is this okay? It's okay? All right, we'll carry on. My closing sequence begins here, and it finishes with, well, you'd like three hard drives. I can have them there tomorrow morning. Would that be soon enough? Let me tell you about a really short sale that I made one time. I was 20 years old. I had just graduated with my degree in marketing, and it took me 8 months to get my first career job, by the way, so I can fully empathize with anybody that's been looking for a while. I used these techniques. I went and talked to every marketing manager in the city of every major corporation that I could think of. And I said, I just got out of college with my marketing degree. I want a job working for an organization such as yours. Would you have a few minutes for me to come and meet with you and learn about your company and what you've done and how you've done it so that that would help me with my career? Everybody said yes. I can't remember anybody saying no to me. And I met with all these guys and they go, well, we don't have a job for you or whatever. But then I finally ended up landing a job, but it took me 8 months. So I know it can be, and I had some interviews where I came in second a lot. I was like, great, well, what have I got to do to get rid of that guy so I can have his job now? But anyway, God put me where I was supposed to be. So anyway, I went to work. One of the jobs I had was working for a brokerage company, a futures trading company. Actually, we sold options. And I got a lead one day. And it was from a guy that lived in a different city. New Zealand's not a very big place, but he lived in a whole different city. And this was the entire conversation. I don't remember his name. Dave, this is Thane Hayes with Morgan Roche. I understand that you like to do investments into things that make you a really large return. Is that right? Yes, it is. What kind of dollar value do you normally like to put in? He says, oh, around 10 grand. I said, great. What we're recommending at the moment is silver. It has been moving very rapidly. In fact, I even have my own parents invested in silver right now. All I need you to do is wire me the money and we can have you in the market tomorrow. That was my entire presentation. He said, well, I don't normally make decisions like that over the phone with people I haven't met. What's your response to that?
Let me bring you lunch.
He lived in a whole other city. He lived 1,000 miles away.
Significant sale? I'm going.
I didn't go. Say that again.
Skype
didn't exist. Well, you should know the answer to that without me having to even tell you, and that is I don't know you and I don't trust you. And $10,000 is a lot of money. So that's not the right answer. What else?
What can I do to give you some comfort?
That might not be a bad question. You didn't listen to me. I just told you I don't normally make these decisions over the phone with people I've never met. Now you're pushing me. I don't appreciate that. So that probably wouldn't have worked. Now, here's the thing. Remember we talked about what's the worst thing they could think or feel or do based on your statement here? Your statement was probably fine. But if the worst thing that they could think or feel or do is a bad thing for you, don't say it. Find another way to say it.
What did he say?
Pardon?
What did he say?
Well, what about today or tomorrow? He just closed. Well, do you want to send the check today or tomorrow? By the way, the entire rest of the conversation lasted 30 seconds. 25 seconds of that was silence. Here's what I said. I said, really? Lots of people do. Twenty-five seconds later, he said, all right, it's on its way. I said, great, you won't regret it. I'll talk to you tomorrow. That was the entire sale. And he sent me, some kid that had been out of school for 2 weeks, $10,000. You can do super good. You have all got way more going for you than I ever did. You have skills. You have integrity. If you have integrity, don't take no for an answer. If you know you're good at your job, don't take no for an answer. I came to this country in 1991, and I started my business in 1992 with no credit and no money. The first computer that I sold cost me $1,500. I only had $150. I walked in to the managing director at this computer wholesaler, and I said, I have come to this country to make myself rich, and I'm going to do it buying and selling computers. My problem is I don't have any money to buy this computer that I want to buy from you today. He goes, let me tell you about this industry. There were a bunch of people that just stole $4 million. This industry is full of thieves and people that are cheating people. There is no way we're going to give you credit. What's your answer to that? I wasn't going to get up and walk out. I knew that I was not going to steal from him, so I sat in his chair. And I kept talking, and he kept talking, until he finally said, you know what, I'll tell you what I'll do. I think I can trust you. You write me a check. You bring it to me. You tell me to hold it. When you're ready for me to cash it, you just call me up and tell me when to put it in the bank. This was back in the day when a check had to be held for 4 days. If you have integrity, don't take no for an answer. If you are good at what you do, believe in yourself. You can do super good. I listen to all of you. You're all thinkers. I think you're all very good at what you've done. None of you are talking with shyness and reservedness. You all have confidence. Maybe there's been one or two circumstances, like have happened to me, where you've been knocked back a little bit, or you're just getting into something that you might not have done before. Who cares? I've done 10 things I've never done before, and I did them well from the first day, and you will too. You've proven that, your track record. You're already good. Believe and let God bring it to you. And I want to hear your success stories next week. Thank you for your time.
Guys, before you leave, there's two things. The valuation is one, and for those individuals that were interested in additional workshops, we have on the evaluation, just let us know which workshop. Thank you.
What am I taking?
Oh, you said it? No.
Thane, T H. We are trying to get the other workshops again in a couple of weeks, so please let me know if you're interested in going to one of the other two workshops. We had several individuals that wanted to sign up for all three, and they're all running simultaneously. So based on your feedback, I'll know whether we need to do them or not. Thanks. The other two workshops were resumes and interviews.